Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Champion in Youth, High School, College, and Amateur Sports Radio, NSR Sports Radio. Joining us as usual is my guy here, who we all know should have been the first Oregon player to win the Heisman Trophy, my guy Akili Smith. Akili Smith, how was your week, man? Let us know what's going on in the world of Akili Smith training.
Oh, man, AST is going real well. Once again, getting ready to put on another 7-on-7 tournament at Grossmont Junior College. Just finished up a training today with a quarterback and receiver. And, you know, it's been pretty fun the last couple of days training my son. He's 8 years old. He's getting ready for Tiny Mites. So all the Tiny Mites out there in the world, you better get ready because my son is coming.
And I know that is an exciting proposition. Yeah. All of my boys are big. They're all in high school, one in college. So I do remember those days with the youth sports. And he's lucky to have you to guide him through this and start him off young. And we know that particularly out here in California, especially at the quarterback and skill position players, these guys are starting out young. And I think that contributes a lot to why these guys are able to come into high school, college, and the pros and start at a early age. So good luck with that. I'll definitely be checking for him, and hopefully real soon he's going to be an NSR All-American.
Yes, he is.
Also joining us is my man with over 25-plus years of football experience, Coach Duck. How are you doing, and what is going on the East Coast, my brother?
Hey, first of all, I want to say hello to you, Coach P, and you, Akili. My thing is, just had a great clinic down in Tampa, doing the Glazier Clinic down there. We had a great time on the Northeast. I try to get away from it. I know you guys out there know about the weather back on the Northeast, so I'm going to stay away from that topic. I just want to make sure I give another shout-out to Octavia Jackson, Shauna Jacobs at www.lifebywisdom.com, two great entrepreneurs. Need to check out that site. And also Maya Timmons, ninth grader, track phenom at Fossil Ridge High School in Keller, Texas. And proud
Absolutely.
Mom, Melissa Timmons.
Absolutely. So all of our listeners out there, go check those guys out. They are doing something great. And today we got a great show. I mean, we're going to definitely talk a little bit about NFL free agency. We're going to talk a little bit about in this first segment, we're going to talk a little bit about coaches and systems in light of what Chip Kelly is doing in Philadelphia, the way it seems like he's rubbing some players the wrong way. And we got some guys who are saying that it's all about the system. But as a former player, and I got two former NFL guys here, system's only as good as the players that are in the system. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We also have a very special guest today, Houston Texans running back Jonathan Grimes. He's going to be talking about some of his experiences in the National Football League. But we're going to talk a little bit with him about some of the things that he's doing outside of the National Football League and outside of football. He's a very eclectic and interesting young man. So we want to give him some shine as well. Excuse me, and give our listeners an opportunity with that as well. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on with National Sports Report in our camps. We're going to touch on the NFL flag experience. Cam Newton was in San Diego this weekend, and it was a great experience. And, of course, National Sports Report was there to get all of the information. As usual, we have our Ask the Duck segment, and we're going to add a new segment today called Knock It Off. So for all those guys out there that are doing crazy things, and I think my subject for Knock It Off is going to be definitely about Chip Kelly. So we're going to jump right into this deal, and we're going to talk about free agency, and I'll open it up with you, Akili. What were some of the things, what were some of the shockers, Akili, in free agency that you saw in this first day or so of free agency?
Well, I'm going to jump right into the Chip Kelly situation. I don't understand how you would make a trade like that for a Sam Bradford who has been hurt and who has not been proven. You know, that absolutely didn't make no sense to me. And then in that offense, you need to be a little bit mobile with some of the zone read stuff that he likes to do. And then also, the Saints getting rid of Jimmy Graham was just absolutely incredible. I have no idea what Sean Payton and the GM are thinking, but that's a questionable one as well. And even that, I hate to cut you off, you go into an NFC power.
Right.
You know, with the 12th man. So those are two head scratchers right now at the top of my head.
Right, and especially with the Jimmy Graham thing, after you went through all this stuff, you know, a few years back with his contract extension, whether he should be paid as a wide receiver or paid as a tight end, mm-hmm. And then, you know, to go through all that, you give him the money and then ship him off to the defending NFC championship, the defending NFC champions is a head scratcher to me. Coach Duck, what are some of the other things that stood out in free agency to you?
I would like to kill it. I got to stay here since I'm on the East Coast. I'm about 30 minutes from Philadelphia, letting Jeremy Maclin go. And maybe touch on it more than I can, because right now they only really have Riley Cooper. I know the Matthews kid is good, but he was in the slot. They don't have anybody that can stretch that defense vertical. I'm still scratching my head about that.
And also, just to piggyback on what you said, Coach, when you look at what's coming out in the draft, you got the wide receiver coming out of West Virginia who will be off the board, you know, before Philly picks. You got the wide receiver coming out of Alabama, mm-hmm. who will also be off the board by the time Philly picks. Chip Kelly already said that he is not going to mortgage the organization's future to go up and get Mariota. So I have no idea what he's doing. I think that the one move or the thing that is baffling to me is the lack of takers for DeMarco Murray.
Right.
That is surprising to me that there aren't as many takers as I thought. And then also, too, I was reading a column by McShay. Basically, he was saying how one of the reasons McShay, that one of the reasons that they were not going to give him or he's not going to get money, or a lot of people are shying away from him, is because of all the wear and tear that he got last year. This is a guy that has made about $3 million over the course of his career. He single-handedly basically took my Cowboys to a playoff run. And the way he is rewarded is, hey, man, I know we rode you into the ground, but, man, I can't pay you that type of money now.
Yeah,
you got rolled into the ground.
And I think a lot of it stems, too, Warren, from the O-line play. I will say that. That offensive line and what they were able to do in the draft to help DeMarco and to help Romo was absolutely incredible. And now, we talked about this last week, there's a lot of teams that are looking for plug-in guys.
Right.
And basically what they're saying is, we can get anybody to run behind that offensive line. We don't need to play DeMarco Murray that much money. And it's just not right.
And one thing I'll say about that, and this is as a guy that played the running back position, and Coach Duck, you can jump in on this as well. As guys that played the running back position, yeah, you do need a great offensive line, but I'm not one of those guys that succumb to the notion that you can just plug any running back into this Cowboys offense and they're just going to be good. I just don't believe that. Now, do I believe you'll have a 1,000-yard rusher behind this offensive line and you can plug a guy in to rush for 1,000 yards? Absolutely. But I'll tell you something. The Cowboys needed every bit of those 1,800 yards that DeMarco Murray put up to be the force that we were this year. And if you lose 200 or 300 yards of those yards, I think you're talking about a different outcome to the season. So that was my thing, I think, in free agency that stuck out, the fact that he's not with a team. I hope he doesn't go to Philly. Or, you know, I hope he does. Who cares? That offensive line isn't any good. So that's the deal. But speaking of Philly, and we'll move into Chip Kelly, and what I want to talk about is about systems. Mm-hmm. Because and we're going to always – we always like to bring it back to how the things that are trending in the NFL and the NCAA trickle down to high school and youth sports. And I'm going to start with you, Coach Duck. I'm interested to get your opinion. There's a lot of coaches, particularly in the high school level, and I can speak, you know, for out here, you know, on the West Coast, and you can attest to how it is there. But here on the West Coast, you got a lot of guys that come from that Chip Kelly way of thinking. You know, they like to think that, hey, you know, my system, you know, is what works. I believe that it has to be a marriage of the two. Now, I definitely believe with football and the higher that you go, coaching outweighs the players, but just slightly. With basketball, you know this. You know, a LeBron can come to Cleveland the first time, and basically they're in the championship every year. And then when he leaves, they go back to being cellar dwellers. But in football, it's a lot of pieces, and I believe the coach is important. But when you're talking about youth in high school, it usually has a lot to do with the players. So I'm going to put this up to you, Coach Duck, just to get your opinion on that. Are you a system guy, or are you more a player guy?
Well, I want to say I'm more of a player guy, because I have to fit my scheme towards the personnel. And right. We talked about this a little bit last week about the copycat type of deal from passing down from the pros to the college to the high school to the youth. But you got to understand, you cannot use everybody's scheme for your personnel, because you might not have the right personnel to do that. And that's sometimes we, because as coaches, they get in trouble doing that, because they don't have, on that level, on the youth level, if you got one or two good players, sometimes you can majority of the time go all the way. And the kids, you know, I've seen it, and I'm sure you guys have seen it too. They take a tall sweep. It seems like everybody, the fastest kid gets the tall sweep, takes it, go around the end, goes for a touchdown. Then you move up to the high school level, that same kid, you no longer can do that. So you gotta be as flexible as possible to come up with some type of scheme that fits your personnel. Everybody's not going to have the same type of personnel year in and year out.
And Achilles, you know, we won't mention any names, but you went through something similar in your high school coaching career, where you were a part of what was, in my opinion, a great coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if it was ego or whatever it was, mm-hmm. that, you know, forced you to go to a different situation. From a guy that has, you know, in my opinion, and I'm closely related to that, and we're not going to mention any names, but as a guy that has gone through, you know, a situation where a coach believes his system is better than, you know, the players. Talk to me about that from your experience.
I think it's kind of tough. You have to, you know, get on the field and kind of feel what you have. For example, we were an 11 personnel team this year at Bishop's when we got started. And for those of you who don't know what 11 is, that's basically three receivers and one tight end. And as we got going into the season, we moved into more of a 12 personnel type deal, because we felt we can get the run and the pass. So 12 personnel is one running back, two tight ends. So we were more in a heavy set. And we pretty much just out-coached a lot of teams and trying to figure out how are they going to play the tight end side. Are they going to play them head up with the two-gap technique? Are they giving us the soft edge where we can run outside zone? And it pretty much worked for us. So from a coaching standpoint, and you said this earlier, Warren, you have to go on the field and try to figure out what you have, and it's got to kind of match each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. From my personal experience, I was in a situation like that at a school, and I just put it to the coach, you know, basically like this, you know, because we wanted to be a spread, wide open, pass the ball type of team. And I had to ask, you know, our head coach, I was the offensive coordinator, and I had to ask him, Coach, do you want to be a passing team, coach, or do you want to be a winning team?
Right. That's it. And you got to figure out, and you got to figure out what it is once you get out there on the field. And then, you know, week to week, Coach Duck, you know this, week to week, you might want to come out in 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end. You might want to do a change of pace type deal. You want to show some spread, jump into some bunch. You got to always be game planning and preparing 3 and 4 games down the road because our opponents are always getting our video.
Which to me is what
correct. You could take the same, and I don't mean to cut you off, Coach P, you could take the same plays and use it with different personnel.
Right.
And absolutely. I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. I just wanted to piggyback off of what, you know, Kelly was saying. You know, we changed up, you know, we give them the same look, but we had different personnel. And a lot of times that, you know, that throws the defense off. You know, they never seen that type of set, but the same plays are coming right at them. So it's almost like a psychology game, you know, a chess match. You know, who can line up correctly?
Absolutely. And for me, that to me is what makes a Bill Belichick one of the best coaches to ever play the game. I mean, you can say that the guy cheats and all that other good stuff, and I'll give you an example. The example in the playoffs where they lined up the ineligible receiver out wide and they put the eligible, you know, guy on the line who was in a lineman number. He came in, he checked with the ref. Mm-hmm. But this is a play that was done within the rule book. But because Bill Belichick is so crafty from week to week, the game plan changes. To me, that's a great coach. You know, I see even when you go down to the youth level, it's easy to win when you coach a team that is chock full of talent. But go to places like East Lake and win national championships with those rich kids. Then you're showing me something.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a promising young running back, Jonathan Grimes. You're listening to the National Sports Report, Sports Radio, football news at every level.
Hello, San Diego. This is Coach Rod Williams with Step Academy, speed to enhance performance. You can look us up at our website, stepacademy.net. I'm listening to San Diego's best sports radio show, the NSR Sports Radio.
Looking for football news at every level? Then look no further. The National Sports Report and NSRFootball.com are proud to present NSR Sports Radio. Join your host, Coach P, as we break down the trending topics in the NFL, the NCAA, high school football, youth football, and beyond. Also joining us are former NFL quarterback Akili Smith and Coach David Riley in our Ask the Duck segment. These two guys have over 25 years of football experience, and they are waiting to share it with you. Join all the action every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the National Sports Report. Football news at every level.
Collect your favorite NFL players. Upgrade with stars from the past and present. And dominate your rivals on the field. This is the next level of fantasy football. This is where the season never ends. This is where legends are made. This is Madden Ultimate Team.
I'm Coach Robbie Preston, offensive coordinator of the DCSAA state champion Eastern Rambler Senior High School, and you're listening to the NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level.
And welcome back. You're listening to the champion in sports radio, NSR Sports Radio, on the Never Had It So Good Network, brought to you by Akili Smith Training. We got a great guest on the show today, and we're going to talk a little bit about, of course, this gentleman's life, his road to the NFL, but we're also going to combine this segment with the This or That segment. And the topic in This or That is, should NCAA players get compensated outside of their scholarship? And joining us in this discussion is a guy who, you know, I've been looking forward to this all week. Coach Duck speaks very highly of this young man and some of the things that he's doing, but he speaks so highly of him for the things that he's doing off the field, and not necessarily for the things that he's doing off on the field. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Grimes. How are you today, Mr. Grimes?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm excellent, brother. Thank you so much for coming on NSR Sports Radio on the Never Had It So Good Network. I really appreciate some of the things that, again, Coach Duck were talking to me about. So we're going to start off the subject of football. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your music? I hear that you might be that next guy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about
that? Right?
That's right. I hear this guy's like Prince out there. You know what I'm saying? tell us a little bit about some of the things you're doing with the music. I'm very interested in that.
I'm very excited about the music. Pretty much every day I get more inspiration to work on some new stuff. And I'm glad I keep running into people that like music and want to produce. I feel like I'm running to the right people, rubbing the right elbows. And pretty much I can tell you how it started out. It started at a young age. I started playing the piano at 7, and that was the same year I started playing football, and it was actually a deal with my dad. He always wanted me to play the piano, and he was going to hold me out another year. He said, if I let you play this year, you got to promise me to play the piano. I'm like, done deal. I want to play football. Let's play the piano. And ended up sticking with it and playing all through high school, and then ended up being a music major. And really, I didn't really want a music major to teach it or anything like that. I just wanted to study something that I loved, and I'm still sticking with it. And I think I got some things in the work that might really unfold to be really good, because that's like my number one passion right now.
Wow. So what type of music, what genre of music is it? You a rock and roll guy or what?
That's the beautiful thing. I like all things. Like, I used to be shut off and just stick to certain kind of things. But then when I got out to high school and met different people and got out to college, I just realized how much music is out there. And I just didn't want to be shut off from all that good music that's out there in the world. Why not give it a try and see what I like? Because you never know. So, but personally, I think my voice best fits like R&B kind of stuff like that, if I'm going to make a song for me. But I'm willing to work with whoever wants to get down.
I heard that, and we share that passion. And this is something I don't know if Akili or Coach Duck knows that I'm also into the music as well. I play the piano and I sing and write music as well. So we definitely
we're the same person. Yeah,
absolutely. We have that in common, except, you know, you actually made it to the league, and my career ended at Florida A&M. But we won't go there. So tell me a little bit about your experiences at William and Mary, and actually tell me why. I know that's a great academic school. Why William and Mary out of the schools that were recruiting you?
Well, one obvious factor is they gave me a scholarship, and they were the only school to actually offer me a scholarship. And that was big, you know, financially, to help out my parents. And then when I went down there to visit, it was like a no-brainer. Like, it was just a nice place to be. The campus is beautiful, and obviously it's one of the top schools in the country. So I'm like, I got a great education. I can play pretty competitive ball. You know, they're sending people to the league, and that was always a goal in the back of my head. Like, I want to get to the NFL. Could I get to the NFL from this spot? And I saw that I could, and it was a no-brainer, so I took it.
Now, last week we had a nice little discussion. Well, it might have been 2 weeks ago, about all the kids. It was part of the Real Talk segment. All the kids want to go to the SEC and go to the Pac-12 and go to all these big-time schools. Could you talk to these kids a little bit about, you know, getting your education paid for, making sure you get your degree? and that the NFL will find you. Can you talk briefly about that?
Oh, right, definitely. I feel like you can make it from anywhere. You see some of the guys that are really balling in the league. I can't name off the top of my head, but sometimes they haven't always went to the biggest school, and they can show out. Like, the cream is going to always rise to the top. So if you just stay focused with the plan and really embrace the process instead of the end result, I think you'd be better off that way. As far as younger guys really getting their education, that's key, because just the statistics of people not making it and making it are already against you. So you want to always have a backup plan. And then, so what if you're not at the biggest school ever or whatever? You can still put your best foot forward and really do your thing at a smaller school.
Wow. And you already touched on, you know, the age that you started. You started at 7 years old playing football. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, people ask me, you know, why do you love football so much? And I really, I can't answer the question. I don't know. I've loved it ever since I could walk, you know. So So I want you to talk about that passion that you mentioned before, you know, at a young age. What was your youth football experience like?
My youth football experience, I was listening to this show earlier, and I could hear Coach Riley talking about people just getting the ball on a tall sweep and hitting the edge and hitting that touchdown. And that's kind of what I think of back then. You know, I was one of the faster kids, and but it was cool. And it actually gave me an opportunity to go out to my high school, because it got me noticed, because I went to a unlimited group, St. Pete's, and that wasn't just the Pop Warner Palmyra team where only Palmyra would see me. So then other coaches started seeing me, and then I got to start visiting, you know, high schools. I didn't think it would start that early. But then I went out and visited Paul Six, and it was beautiful. So that's kind of my experience with the Pop Warner scene.
And then you go on to high school, and I'm assuming you have a great career in high school. And you mentioned before that, you know, you weren't getting recruited as much as you thought. Tell me about that process, you know, and some of the frustrations of that, because obviously you overcame that and you're now living out, you know, two of your childhood dreams. So tell me about what that process was like and what gave you the mental strength to get through it and do what you had to do.
Right. It's just a very determined thing. It was very stressful at some times because I felt like I was doing everything in my power that I could do right. I really focused in school, had a 3.9 GPA. I mean, sometimes I was waking up in the morning, lifting at 5 a.m. and then going to school and then go to practice, then come home, do my homework and do that. And I was definitely willing to make a sacrifice. And I guess if I had to think why, it's just because I wanted to go to the NFL so bad. I just felt like I always looked at the NFL, that's the highest level of football you can play in the whole world. And I feel like I'm good at it. It's my passion. So why wouldn't I want to get to the NFL? So I think I kind of always had that in the back of my head in high school. Even when I wasn't going to get recruited and stuff like that, I just felt like that some way, like it'll happen somehow. And I remember actually Coach Riley was helping me out when I was coming out of high school. Like, man, I don't have a lot of people looking at me. You think you can talk to people? And he immediately started contacting people, and I will always appreciate that. That's pretty much how my high school career went.
And then,
Coach P, is that a lot of people now call back and say they missed out on Jonathan Grimes. You know, now, look, after they see him playing pro ball, or we missed out, or when they saw him carrying women married to, you know, the playoffs. So I just wanted to add that example.
I'll tell you, too, when we knew that we were going to have Jonathan on the show, I went back and looked at some of his highlights. He was almost as good as me, Coach. You know what I mean? The kid was a player. You know, I mean, was a player, determined runner. I really love your style. You know, the way you run the football. And again, I'm an ex running back. You know, Coach Doug played the position. Of course, Akili played at the highest level. So, I mean, I really appreciate, that's a statement, I really appreciate the way you play football. So tell us a little bit about your transition coming from William & Mary and then going into the NFL. Tell me about that transition. And again, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions like that because most of our listeners, you know, are guys like us. They're guys that, you know, love the game of football at its purest form. And we got a lot of kids that listen to the show. So a lot of this stuff that you're saying, there's some guys out there that are feeling the same way. So I just want to keep that in mind. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to share my experience as far as that. I'll start off by just talking about even the from high school to college transition, just getting used to being away from your parents if you happen to go to school far away, and just the way it works with that, because there's not teachers or parents always hounding you to do this and do that. You're more on your own, and you got to take care of business, and it all comes down to how serious you really want to be. Like, even like getting just to high school, it's almost a business already. Before you even get to pro, and even with that topic that we're going to talk about later, should college athletes get paid? And it's really coming down to a business. So, and I knew that. I remember telling my parents before I even went to college, I was like, this is business. Like, this is my next step to going to the NFL. And if you want to approach it like that, then that'll be good for you if you're trying to get to the NFL. But if you're just, you know, just trying to get by and do whatever, then that's cool too, but that's on you. But if you really want to make it, you got to put in the time. It's no substitution. And I had a good time in college. It was really exciting. Got thrown into the fire early. I was really supposed to redshirt, but then everybody started getting hurt, so I ended up having to play first year. And I was starting, I think, the fourth game of my freshman year, and there was no looking back after that. And, you know, just a lot of pounding and stuff, but I always had that goal in the end. Another topic that people would have to encounter coming out of college to the pros is getting an agent. And that's always a big deal. And, you know, getting to the combine or getting the pro days and all-star games, all that has to come to consideration, which you think about, which I really wasn't. I was just concentrating on working hard and doing my thing, and then everything would just kind of unfold and happen, but it doesn't. You got to have some people in your corner that really know what's going on, that want to start the legwork, because I think that's the same thing that kind of happened with me in high school, that I feel like I got slighted maybe in college. Like, I just thought, you know, I'll play, I'll do my thing, and then, you know, it'll just happen for me. But nothing really just happens. It's a lot of things that go into it besides just being on the field and performing well.
Absolutely. You mentioned before about the business of football, and now the business, you know, of the NFL. And I want to get your take on this. We talked about the plight or the state of the running back position going forward. When you see guys like LeSean McCoy getting traded, and this is no disrespect to Kiko Alonso, but you got one of the most dynamic players, you know, in the league getting traded for a linebacker that was out all last year. You got DeMarco Murray, who basically has made about $3 million throughout his career, rushed for 1,800 yards last year, and is still unsigned. You've got Chip Kelly believing that Ryan Matthews can do a better job than the guy he had. So talk to me about, you know, what you're seeing around the league as a current NFL running back. Tell me what you see about the trend as far as the running back position.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've seen that trend even before I got to the NFL, but then when I'm in the NFL, I really, you know, see that it's really a cutthroat business. And I guess I would just have to say that it's like they're willing to risk it sometimes with running backs, because there's so many people trying to play that position, and it's not that many spots, you know, in the whole NFL just for running backs. And nowadays, they're really looking for people that are versatile. You can't just be, all right, he's a good runner, or he's a good, you know, pass protector, or he's good at running routes or whatever. He has good hands. You got to have the whole package. And there's so many people that can do that nowadays, and that's why they feel like they can plug somebody in or whatever like that. So that's how I feel about the NFL. I feel like they just kind of look at it like a dime a dozen.
Right. Right. Now, we know you like the music, right? We know you're a great NFL guy, you know, budding NFL guy. How are the Texans going to do this year?
I couldn't tell you exactly how they're going to do this year. I couldn't tell you how anybody's going to do. I don't even think that this year's team is all the way put together. Obviously, we're going to have the draft and all that and make cuts from there. But I don't know if you wanted me to try to go by what from last year or whatever. I don't even think that would be fair because it's a whole different year. But
right.
I'm feeling positive about it. As long as I'm here, I feel positive about it. You know,
like, I heard
if that. If I'm on a team, then I'm going to roll with them, ride or die, you know?
I heard that. Let me ask you a question. Is Clowney healthy? Is Clowney ready to go? What's he like right now?
I couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
I'm sure he's following the rehab program and plans to be back this season, but I don't know his status of right now. But
okay.
I know he's going to work hard and try to be 100%.
Okay, my
All
question
right.
then, Jonathan, is Andre Johnson,
mm-hmm.
the role, the significant role that he played on your team.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, like, respect when you think about a guy like that who put so much work in one city the whole career and just been such a good pro about it. And I really like Andre Johnson because he doesn't go around, you know, boasting or talking a lot. He just puts in the work and just goes to work. And that's going to be greatly missed by me personally. He's just a great pro and a great role model.
Wow. And this is NSR Sports Radio on the Never Had It So Good Network. We're going to go before we let you go, Jonathan. We got one more thing that we got to talk about. And it's this is in our this or that segment, and we're going to ask guys to pick a side.
Oh, man.
to pick a side. So you're going to have – we're going to put you on the hot seat, brother. We're going to put you on the hot seat. And don't dance around it, man. Don't dance around it.
I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
I'm going to ask you, do you believe that NCAA players should get paid?
Right, since you put it the way you said I had to answer, I'm gonna say they need to get paid.
Okay,
I'm gonna get paid. Especially, it's most evident to the big colleges where the kids are obviously generating a whole bunch of money for the school, but they don't see any of it.
Right,
I don't really see how that's fair.
Right, and Akili, you being one of, I mean, from a college football standpoint, Akili, you wanted the best ever. Talk to me about your thoughts on that as well.
I think the players definitely need to be paid. I think when I was back at Oregon, I know at Oregon, we used to go take out $200 loans and things of that nature. They would give us an opportunity to do that just to go buy pizza and put some food in our fridge. And it's absolutely ridiculous with the amount of money that they're making. They're making more money than the NFL. A lot more money than the NFL. And it's time to start giving the kids at least a couple thousand dollars a month where they can be comfortable. They don't have to stress and worry about money or anything like that. They can get plane tickets for their family to come in and get hotel rooms and things of that nature. Because at the end of the day, it's about the kid in college, and it's about him getting his degree. And obviously, it's big, big business.
Right.
And these guys are making a lot of money. So it's time to give back just a little bit.
Coach Duck.
Well, I'm going to be the bad guy. Let's take that money and put it towards some of the kids that cannot afford to come to school. Let's cut some of that tuition in half. I survived. Akili survived. Jonathan survived. We survived without getting paid. But you got people out there that can't survive, end up dropping out of school because their parents can't afford for them to go to school. So I have mixed feelings about that. So I'm going to slide over to the other side on you guys.
Well, I'll say this, and I remember watching a 30 for 30, the one about the Fab Five, and, you know, they were talking about Chris Webber. And, you know, Chris Webber and, you know, the guy was talking and he walked past, you know, a jersey shop and he saw his Chris Webber jersey for $200 in the store. And he had like 36 cents in his pocket and couldn't afford, you understand, to take his girl out or something like that. That's when the guy said he knew that Chris Webber wasn't coming back to school. He was about to go to the NBA. So, you know, for me, if these guys, if the NCAA is allowed to, and the NCAA video games and all this other stuff is allowed to profit on these kids' likenesses and such like that, then I really, really just believe that, you know, these guys got to get paid. When you're looking at it, that the NCAA topped nearly $1 billion in revenue in 2014, $1 billion in revenue. Come on, man. These kids need to be able to buy pizza. They need to be able to have a suit to bury their parents in. They need to be, I mean, those type of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen guys literally get kicked off a team because a guy bought a suit for him, you know, to go to his, you know, a family member's funeral. I mean, to me, the notion of that is ridiculous. So, you know, do I believe they should get paid? Yes. How they're going to work that out, who knows? But you got $1 billion to split it up. You know, share the wealth a little bit. So, Jonathan, the we're going to end this segment. And again, man, I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to come on the show and talk to us a little bit. Can you please let our listeners know where they can find your music, if you have anything recorded or anything like that? Where can we hear you play?
Man, I really wish you could. It's all in the working stages. I mean, sometimes it just be spur of the moment where I get invited to a show or I get pulled into something. But as of now, I don't have anything recorded for anyone to listen to. But I can tell you it's probably coming soon, I'd say in the next year or so.
All right, man. Well, it's been my great pleasure having you on the show. You're now family. Like I tell everybody that comes on the show, now that you're family, man, when I show up for Thanksgiving, man, you know what I'm saying? Just had a plate ready, man. Don't act like you don't know me, you know what I'm saying? So there we go. Jonathan, it's a great pleasure having you on. And this is Jonathan Grimes, Houston Texans running back, soon to be the man out there in Houston. I thank you again for coming on. Any parting words, Jonathan?
No, I thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. And I think it's real positive what kind of message you're trying to share with your audience and the young athlete.
Absolutely. Thanks again. And that is Jonathan, Houston Texans running back Jonathan Grimes. And we're going to take a quick break now. You are listening to the champion in sports radio, NSR Sports Radio, on the Never Had It So Good Media Network.
This is Glenn DeVoe with Camp Lyman, an elite middle school all-star football team. You're listening to NSR Sports Radio.
Coach Lombardi. Coach Shula. Coach Landry. Coach Dave. Great coaches make us better players and better people. To become a better coach, visit usafootball.com, the official youth football partner of the NFL.
Fellas out every Wednesday night for Real Talk segment on NSR Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the champion in sports radio, NSR Sports Radio, on the Never Had It So Good Media Network. Before we go any further, I'm just going to give a couple of shout-outs. Shout-out to Coach John Bankhead with the D1 Academy. You can find those guys every Sunday at Centennial High School. I'm sorry, Saturdays at Centennial High School, Sundays at Rancho Christian. For more information, visit D1Academy.com. Again, that is D1Academy.com. Also, to our guys at Moto Sports, Basically, their motto is get it done. Moto Sports is the leader in sports and workout attire. I'm sorry. Visit them on the web at motosports.com. That's MODO-sports.com. And now we are back with one of my favorite segments of the show. We're going to go right into our Ask the Duck segment. Coach Duck, you know I'll be looking forward to this, man, to get that knowledge from a guy that has, again, more than 25, 35 years of coaching and football experience. Coach Duck, today our question is a good one. This is from our guy, Rich Garcia, out in the Orlando, Florida area. And his question is on height and weight protocol for DBs in college. Okay, so his question basically is, Coach Riley, my name is Coach Rich Garcia. I'm a trainer at D1 Sports in Orlando, Florida. I train many youth football players, but I specialize in training DBs, and I get questions from parents about what height and weight do Division I coaches like to see in their DB recruits. What do you think about that, Coach?
And you know something, and I talked to just the other day, I had a young man from Somerville, South Carolina. He came up to me, he's probably about 5'8", 5'9". They came to me and said, Coach, I was being recruited by Liberty University down in Virginia, and they liked me. They were going to offer. Then they realized that I was only 5'8", 5'9", and they told him that they only wanted kids that were 6 feet or taller. So me, being the person that I am, so I make a few calls, call around, and they are looking for the bigger corners. And we all know they're looking for bigger corners because the receivers are a lot bigger now. The smaller corners are asked to play inside, to play the third and fourth receivers or the slot receivers or however you want to put it. The ideal height, pro guy and a couple of college coaches, they told me the ideal height would be 5'11 and a half and 195 pounds. And what they're looking for, especially in the taller D-back, is length. Length to be up and go get the ball, be able to knock the ball away. One thing that they don't have, the taller corners, more so than the smaller corners, is the ability to stick that foot in and break on the ball like some of the smaller corners, that quickness. But one thing the bigger corners can do compared to the smaller corners, that press coverage. And most of the time you see the smaller corners playing off because they can, you know, they can break up, they can support. They want to be the, you know, they want the big corners to be able to use their hands, which we all know. So, and for both of them, the ability to flip your hips. So the basic answer to the question is more of the colleges and the pros are going to the bigger, you know, the bigger corner. So what I did too, you know, once you talk to some of the pro guys, some of the D1s, you don't want to leave out D2 and D3 guys. They're even going to the bigger corner. They might not get the exceptional big corner, but they still taking that corner that can get up and press, you know, the receivers. He might not be able to run with the receivers, but, like, depending on what scheme the offense is, they're trying to cause a lot of confusion, disruption, and the route running. So that's, you know, that's some of the things that I found out about the big corner.
So what advice would you give, and this, I guess this is the part two to that question, what advice would you give that kid that's on the bubble? I mean, that kid that is an absolute dog, but he might be 5'8", that, you know, has D1 potential, but, you know, a lot of schools are telling him that he might be too short or too small to play the cornerback position in the D1 level.
And Achilles could jump in on this too. My advice to them, first of all, I don't believe in that hype deal. I know a lot of people, you know, say, you know, might think that I'm crazy by saying that. You cannot measure a kid's heart. And you got that kid that's 5'8", 5'9", that's going to get up there and give it all that he's got. My thing is, don't give up on your dream. You keep knocking on the door. All it takes, it's just like Jonathan, when we were talking about, all it takes is just one person. All it takes is one school to give you that opportunity. And, you know, I tell you another person, and he talked about it when I worked with him a little bit, Mark McMillan. You end up playing with a chip on your shoulder because of your height. You want to prove every day, every hour, every minute, every second that you can compete on the highest level. So I tell him, follow it, hey. Stay with your dream.
And, you know, to jump in on that, we probably have three of the most dynamic backs in the state of California here in San Diego. That's what, under 5'8", 5'7"?
Right. Son is one of those.
Yeah,
guys.
He's probably the best. Elijah Preston, Adrian Petty, Nathan Stinson. And then last year we had a kid by the name of Bula Graft.
Beast.
Who was about 5'6", 5'7". But if you put his face in an encyclopedia and turned to football, it would be a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Duck, the kid, never left the field. He was the holder, kickoff team, punt return, kickoff return team, played safety, running back, was in the slot. He played everywhere, Coach Duck. The kid was about 5'7", and he pretty much led us to a CIF championship. So you're right. It's all about the heart.
So, I mean, in that, so if you're listening out there and you're that guy that might be a little bit undersized, again, although the colleges have requirements or you know, prerequisites, things that, you know, they are looking for, they can never, ever, ever, ever gauge the size, the height, the width, the strength of your heart. Mm-hmm. So like Coach Duck said, like Achilles said, keep grinding. And that was our Ask the Duck segment. Again, if you want to get your question answered by Coach Riley, again, hit us up at nsrfootball.com. Click on Ask the Duck, and we will answer your questions on air. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our Knock It Off section, and we're going to actually get the real talk from Achilles Smith. You're listening to NSR Sports Radio, the champion in sports radio, on the Never Had It So Good Media Network.
Coach Steve Connor with the Katy Sun Devils. You can visit us online at katysundevils.com. You're listening to NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level.
This is David Duck Riley, speaker coordinator, training director for the Blazers Clinic. Also a founder of Inspire Senior Showcase. If you have any football-related questions, please visit our website, www.nsrfootball.com. And click Ask the Duck. I will answer your questions on that. Looking forward to hearing from you. Again, www.nsrfootball.com.
To be great, we got to practice hard, be healthy, have heart, and dedication. What are you going to do to be great?
Hey, little man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to be great?
I'm going to join NFL Flag San Diego.
This is Coach Cedric with CMC Sports. Visit us up on the web at cmcsports1.com. And you are now listening to NSR Sports Radio.
And welcome back to the champion in sports radio, NSR Sports Radio, on the Never Had It So Good Network. This is your host, Coach P, and I'm joined as usual by my guys, Achilles Smith, one of the great college quarterbacks, great guy in the NFL. I'm also David the Duck Riley. And right now, we're going to go into real talk with Achilles Smith. Achilles has a great take on social media. So you guys out there that's on social media, particularly you athletes, listen up.
Real quick, I'm sorry about that. I just want to take some time to talk about what's going on social media, and I don't think everybody completely understand what the colleges are now doing. You have colleges out there, and I probably would say about 90% of the colleges in America, who have hired someone to sit in front of a laptop, sit in front of a computer, and watch all the kids that are part of that school, and to watch potential recruits. And I just started picking up some numbers right now as I was sitting here in the studio. Facebook now has 900 million users. Twitter has 140 million users. So when you tweet and when you press send or any of those type of things out there, it goes into your own personal database, and that information is saved forever. So you got to be careful with the information that you're putting on Facebook, the information that you're putting on Twitter. Obviously, you don't want to be tossing up no gang signs. You don't want to be promoting no drugs. Twerking is pretty much out of control right now. You don't want to be involved with that. You don't want to take no pictures being drunk or any of that type of stuff. And I had a kid who was at USD, and his name will remain nameless. He was on Twitter talking bad about some of the coaches on the USD staff. And guess what happened? Those coaches printed all that stuff up, sat him down, and he ended up being expelled from the school. So we got to learn to be careful with social media and the information that we're putting on out there.
With Akili Smith. And Akili, that's one thing for me as the father of a little girl. I wish I would see my little girl on social media twerking or something like that. Man.
Yeah.
I might catch a case. But, I mean, that was definitely real talk with Akili Smith. Guys, listen up to what Akili is saying. These type of things can really contribute to you losing your scholarship, something that you work so hard for. And one moment of idioticness, can take that away from you. So please, guys, and I know that's not a word, but I did go to college. But please, guys, please be smart, guys. Please be smart on social media. Don't lose your scholarship because of something silly, guys. Please don't lose your scholarship because of something silly. All right, now, we've had a great show. We've had a great show today, and I can't believe this hour. I can't believe this hour is gone already. I'm going to leave you guys with this. And again, I always like to leave you with some words of wisdom. Guys, be your own agent. Be your own agent, guys. You guys have to promote yourself. And it really goes in line with what Akili just mentioned. You have to be your representative when you're a youth, high school, and then going into college. Be smart with what you put out there. Be smart with the way you represent yourself. If you're in public, pull your pants up, guys.
Right.
Pull your pants up. I'm gonna tell you something, guys. I'm gonna tell you this, and I want you guys to hear me. And I say this from a guy that's grown. You're only gonna be young for a certain amount of time. So while you're young, you gotta get it. You gotta get it while you're young. Also, remember, the road to greatness is paved in stone, not paved in gold. There's going to be some rocks and some bumps along the way. Society dictates that somebody has to flip burgers. Are you a burger flipper, or are you on the path to greatness? This is Coach P for Coach Duck and for Akili Smith. You've been listening to NSR Sports Radio, the champion in sports radio, on the Never Had It So Good Media Network. We'll see you next week.
Praise Radio, the global gospel radio station.
Hey, this is Pat.